is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Automotive. Paul's Automotive is located at 634 Route 46 in Kenville, New Jersey. If you want a master mechanic who has over 38 years of experience with quality work, he's your guy to call. He strives to keep you in a safe and reliable vehicle, and his goal is to make your experience as pleasurable and convenient as possible. It's not like you're dropping your car off and you're getting somebody named Joe Blow who's working on your car. Paul's the guy that'll be working on your car, and he gives you a reasonable price. We're proud to say that he's helped Autism Radio many times to keep our vehicle safe and reliable on the road. So he's your guy to give a call today at 973-584-1035. Remember, he's always committed to quality, and he's pleasurable to work with, and he is very helpful. So give him a call today at 973-584-1035. 1035 today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, master chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I'd like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff, today. Good, Lynn. It's great to have you on this Martin Luther King Day. I would like to call this day a day of service. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said that life most persists, and the urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And that's what we do here at Autism Radio, and Hope Saves the Day every day. And, we also just want to pay tribute to Martin Luther King Jr. He's just done some wonderful things for the community here in the United States. He has had a major impact with a lot of his things and his legacies that he left across the country. It's about bringing people together and to help serve the neighbors and the communities. And, the president does an initiative and he asks to call for all Americans from all walks of life to work together and provide solutions to the most pressing national problems. So I just think it's a great thing to pay tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King. Last year, they call it the Day of Service. They had 15,000-plus disadvantaged people receive job placement and job skill training. 38,000 veterans and military families and active duty military service members received assistance. 58,000 children and teens tutored and mentored or otherwise got education. And 100,000-plus people received training in disaster preparedness and response and recovery. And 360,000 people actually received emergency food supplies. So you just see the impact that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. has had on the United States and the legacy that he left behind. So I'm glad that we're continuing his great work here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So we just want to give a moment of silence for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Well, thank you, everyone. And we got a great show for you here. First, we're going to talk a little bit about this new device out there called a Big Hug for Autistic Kids. As we know, Dr. Temple Grandin, who basically designed a machine that was called the Squeeze Machine, there's a company out there now that's been putting this chair together that's actually fairly inexpensive, and it's being tested now, and it's also very safe as well. It's really amazing what they've done. They've been working on this for probably the last 10 years, and it's going to be called the Green Machine. And it's basically a chair that uses different tools to help basically apply pressure. because we know that a lot of parents with children with autism have a lot of issues calming their children down. And like Temple Grandin's machine costs several thousand dollars, and it's also so big. I mean, it's 500, it's 152 centimeters tall, it's 152 centimeters wide, and it weighs about 13 kilograms, and it's big industrial, and it has a super strength compressor on it, and it's kind of noisy and very obviously impractical for a home. So they designed this lightweight, quiet, aesthetically pleasing device that can be used at home. It's pretty incredible. It's not out yet. The prototypes are out there. It's being tested, obviously, for safety reasons to make sure that it's safe. But if this works out, I mean, it could be tremendous because basically this could be something that could be used in schools, could be used at home. It just has a great, great wide variety of use that can be done because it's basically like a big hug. You know, kids, a lot of times they'll have that need for deep pressure. And, you know, obviously kids that have autism usually have a very high anxiety level at that time. And it's basically sends a signal to the brain of the fight or flight syndrome. And what this does, it helps calm them down.
Right.
You know, this piece of equipment basically is so comfortable. They've tested out with some kids that they actually have so comfortable and calming that they actually have fell asleep in a chair. So it's pretty incredible what this thing can do. You know, we'll definitely keep you up on, you know, when it comes out and get more information out there to you because, like I said, I was just sent this the other day about this new sensory processing chair. And it really, it's actually called a sensory recliner. And the hopes, really, this thing could be amazing in helping children with autism. So, you know, it could be another tool in the toolbox that can help our families that have children with autism. So it definitely looking forward to, you know, finding out more about it. And actually, I'm interested in getting one for myself, for my son, because this could be something that he could use on his own. And doesn't need me to go and squeeze him because I know sometimes, you know, he'll have such a meltdown. And when I go out, when I try to go towards him to even apply deep pressure, he won't even allow me to do that. So it makes it very challenging and difficult. So, you know, this could be something that, you know, if you show it to him, basically they use an air pump in it. It inflates and it actually very comfortable and soft. And it just kind of squeezes them and snuggles the child. So it's pretty amazing. And it, like I said, it's fairly, looks like a nice piece of furniture that you can put in your home or put in your child's room. And it could become their little chair, you know, which is pretty cool.
Also, it would be good for other disabilities because when I've spoken to other people with, besides autism, who have a lot of disabilities have sensory issues, so I'm sure even people with like Down syndrome children or other disabilities might take to something like that because they find comfort with sensory input and they need that. So it sounds like a great invention.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, this is really brand new. Literally, it's just hit the market in testing right now. So it's one of those things, like I said, we're fortunate enough here at Autism Radio to get a lot of the newest information out in the autism community. So we wanted to get this out to you. Obviously, when we get more information, we'll be able to put it out there on our website. So you can go to autismradio.org and, you know, read more about it once we get more information where this is going to be available. And it might be something they're using schools first in an educational setting. And then, you know, be able to offer this at home. So we'll keep you posted. Lynn, I wanted to talk a little bit about this, and it's big, obviously, in the industry right now. Is a lot of companies, especially in 2015, have been approached by several companies that they're really doing wonderful things about hiring autistic workers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really big, and it's very important. You know, Dr. Temple Grandin always said this as a guest on her show, how important it is to get teenagers and adults with autism jobs and give them an opportunity to be productive in the community. And, you know, a lot of companies are starting to get behind this. There was one story that was sent to me recently about a bakery that got on board and has hired a couple of adults with autism, and they're learning how to bake cakes and you know, stuff like that now. First, they started out, you know, doing simple things like sweeping the floors and putting away cake boxes and stuff like that. But now they're doing more because they realize that a lot of these individuals have a lot more capabilities of things they can do. This was actually in Chicago, and that's how they started out. And a lot of companies, and they're actually issuing grants for this program, for like a work study program, to businesses that are getting behind it. And that's awesome, because let's face it, if they're going to get a grant, the businesses are more likely to give this a try. And then they realize what wonderful workers that a lot of these autistic adults can be, as they're so keyed in on the details and able to focus on a job task. Whereas a lot of neurotypicals are not as efficient at doing that particular job. So they actually find them to be better workers, a lot more reliable, and just pay more attention to the details. So
wonderful, yeah.
So it's a great thing, and just kind of wanted to put that out there for everybody. And so if you're looking for your child or your adult with autism for a job, you know, you can reach me at questions@autismradio.org. I can put you in touch with some great companies that are now getting on board with this program and hiring adults with autism to work in their companies. So it's a great thing. You know, it's been out there for a little while, but it was kind of on a smaller scale, and now it's more on a broad scale here in the United States. So it's great, and especially here in the tri-state area, it's becoming more and more prominent every day. So it's awesome.
That's wonderful.
So we're really excited about that. I know, Lynn, you have a great topic to talk about. You know, this is definitely something that's near and dear to my heart. I love animals, and we have a dog. We've always had dogs in our house. And your question of the week was, do you have a service dog in your household? And do you have any dogs or any other pets? And that, how does your child with autism respond to the animals? And possibly, has it improved behaviors, his or her behaviors? And also, would you recommend getting a pet for your child with autism? So take it away with this segment, Lynn.
Okay. Well, I was actually interested in this also from my own personal knowledge, because I've been told over and over again that my neurotypical daughter really, really wants a dog. So I also wanted to see, and it was interesting because I expected everybody to say positive things, but I got some positives and I got some negatives. So I'm going to read off what I got. First person said she has two dogs and a cat, and her daughter loves them. They nap with her on the weekends, and they improve her behavior. They try to stop her behavior by running around in circles around her. Her acting, and they redirect her. So that's great for her. The next lady said, my daughter hates her puppy. That was all she said.
So oh, God.
Not a good answer.
No.
I mean, that's a truthful answer, so that's good. My 16-year-old has his service dog for 9 years, best thing ever. No service dog, but many pets over the years. Right now we have two cats, a dog, and a lizard. I would definitely recommend pets for ASD kids. Our dogs have all been very good with my daughter. My kids love their pets. Right now, I'm lobbied hard for a new kitten since my youngest cat died. Their pets have gotten them through some very tough times, especially bullying, which that's a nice answer. We've had pets over the years, but if I knew then what I know now, I would have gotten a dog or a cat for my son when he was very little. I see how well he interacts with my dog and cat, and I think that maybe a pet could have made a big difference in my son's behaviors a long time ago. I am a true believer in service pets for both physical and psychological help. By the way, I follow the Autism Service Dogs for America here on Facebook. I watch the training routines and see the difference the dogs make in kids' lives. It's amazing. That was the same person, I think.
Okay.
I have a Chihuahua who is 15, and my daughter also has one who is 5. One of my grandsons loves to play with it. He throws the ball and rope and tires him out. The other grandson cannot be bothered. He isn't an animal lover. The one who loves the dog wants a black lab, but our apartments are way too tiny for a big dog. my other grandson sneaks a hug or snuggle with one when no one's looking. And he sees us. He says he came to me, and I didn't go to him. Oh, that's cute. I have two, a Chewbacca, a male Yorkie, and a Maltese mix, who is very calm, gentle soul, and a high-strung Yorkie puppy named Tink, who wants to play nonstop. My son, who is 8, did finally warm up to the Chewbacca after we had him for about a year. He doesn't play with him. He doesn't pay him typical attention, but does love him to lick his hand and likes to lay him on at the end of his bed. He wants nothing to do with Tink. She is just too hyper and playful. I would recommend, if considering getting a pet, take your child to see them first. Make sure the pet will be a good fit for your family, taking the breed, age, gender, and energy level into great consideration. Okay. Next person said, I wanted to get a service dog for my son, but his group home won't allow it. Too much extra staffing and legal issues. Okay, next person. Yes, it was a nuisance at first, but my daughter loves him, and the first year of training and stress was worth it to see her love our dog now. She prefers kitties, but we can't have a cat. Next person said, dogs are a lot of work, expense, and time. Any pet is. We have a dog and a cat, but not a service dog. It's hard enough for giving a severely autistic child the time and resources as it is. Work full-time and have neurotypical kids to take care of. Just seems very overwhelming to me. So this person is not recommending it, I guess. My son has a service dog from Toronto. Depending on your child, it can be extra work. Even if trained, we love him, but my son never bonded with him the way we thought he would. Now, that's a service dog. So I thought that answer was pretty interesting. This is our pet, Rudy. The guy, I guess, posted the picture. Our kid loves him. He's much happier with his pet friends and feels safer. Of course, it's a lot of work, and we plan to train Rudy as a therapy dog. The other thing, I don't know, I have to look into it more myself. I don't know if you know, Paul. It seems like it's expensive to have, a therapy pet. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, a real therapy dog could cost up to like $10,000.
Yeah, that's what I was reading.
Very expensive.
So I think that, like, there's a waiting list or something like that, but maybe there's certain dogs, I think, that are better with kids than others. In general.
Well, I tell you, I used to work for the Seeing Eye, and actually they, have some tremendous dogs that are, trained to be Seeing Eye dogs, but a lot of times these dogs don't maybe make the cut as a Seeing Eye dog, but they make amazing sensory pets. They're just amazing. And they'll even donate them out next to nothing, and they're already trained. So there are things out there and opportunities to get an amazing service dog next to nothing. So that is available out there. You just have to find the resources and where you can find them available.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an option.
The interesting thing about the question was that some people, I mean, for the majority, it seems like most people did say it was a good thing. But what I think is interesting, and I think like anything else with autism, is that there's no one right answer. It's always depends on the kid, depends on the family, depends on the dog, depends on the situation. You can't say yes. You know, pets in general are great for kids with autism. It's just there's no right.
Well, I tell you, in general, I think if a kid grows up with a dog, I think it's great. And and I think what happens is sometimes parents will have a child and their child's a little older, maybe 7, 8, 9 years old, has autism, and then they decide to bring a dog into the house. That is a little more challenging. I think when a child grows up with a dog, like my son, when he was born, we had dogs in the house. So he was always born with dogs around him.
Right.
And, I think it makes a big difference because even to this day, he doesn't like the dog to approach him. He is very in control of his space. I'll give an example. This morning, got up after, walking the dog. He woke up, came out of his room. Dog came into the house, was walking around, and he kind of like jumped up on a couch, didn't want anything to do with the dog. Now, the dog is trained not to go on the couch, will not go on the couch, so Jonathan knows he's safe on the couch. So therefore, the dog will be kind of like wanting to be petted, and he just... Aww. He kind of backs off, and then the dog finally settles down. And then I watch my son as he reaches over to the end of the couch, lays his whole body over onto the floor, and still with his legs and his hips up on the couch, and hugs the dog and, like, puts his head on the dog and hugs her and just loves her up. And so I know that this dog has a tremendous impact on him and makes him feel good. And I know that the dog also, I think this dog is, well, it's a boxer, first of all, and they're very smart dogs, and they're very intuitive with kids, especially with children. And he, you know, just knows, like, if you know, Jonathan's having a meltdown, she'll come over and kind of, like, lay by him and just kind of sit there. And then even at times, sometimes he squeezed the dog so hard, and she kind of looks at me like, oh, help me. You know, I'm like, okay, Jonathan, take it easy, and he'll stop. And then he kind of calms down. It's pretty amazing how the dog does have that effect on him.
The dog doesn't get mad when he squeezes him?
No, never, never.
Wow.
No, no. She's never, ever growled, nothing like that. She's probably one of the best dogs that we've ever had. And even our other two dogs that we had a boxer and we had a plot hound before that. He used to jump all over these dogs, and they never, not once, ever growled. You know, we've just been very lucky and fortunate, too. And we always try to, you know, teach your kids the right things, not to do this to the dog and, you know, never come up on the dog, stuff like that.
Right.
You know, when he was little, you know, he used to go near the dog food bowls. And that's a very big challenge because, you know, when a dog is eating, that's one time you definitely don't want to mess with a dog.
Right.
But even so, you know, we had to move him away and move him away from the dog bowl. Eventually he learned that, okay, when the dog is eating, he has to wait. And then he'd wait till the dog finished, and then he'd go and, you know, play with the dog, sort of, in his own way. But you know, a lot of times he wanted nothing to do with the dog. So it's kind of interesting. But like I said, it's not a service dog. It's just, you know, it's our family pet, basically. And yet the dog does bring a service to my son because I've seen it with my own eyes. So it's pretty pretty incredible, actually. But, you know, dogs are a lot of work. I mean, I'm going to be honest. You know, I'm a dog lover, but dogs are definitely a lot of work, and they cost a lot of money to keep, and it's a lot of responsibility. And, you know, there's always going to be one parent in the family that's going to be taking care of the dog more than anybody else. Of course, the kids say they'll do everything, and that never happens, I'm going to be honest.
Right.
Because I have a daughter. She's a teenager, and I got to force her to walk the dog once a day, you know. So it's definitely not an easy thing. So it's definitely, you know, when you have challenges dealing raising a child, and then you're raising a child with autism, having a dog is a whole nother responsibility and work for the family. So you got to be willing to sacrifice that and remember that the dog is going to require work and money too. So, but the trade-off is great, especially if you find a great dog that's a great fit for your child. It can do amazing things for sure. So But Lynn, that's great. That was great that everybody wrote in, and we want to thank everybody for doing that and partaking in that question of the week.
Yeah, that was I appreciate all the people that participated and gave excellent answers. So and the honesty. So that was great. So you know, I'm trying to get some people to write some different things, some different topics on the Hope Saves the Day. We got a couple people writing in hopeful stories, little moments. We changed the nature of the page and different topics that they might want to hear us talk about on the radio. So, you know, we might not necessarily talk about it, but just to give us some feedback as to, you know, what's going on in your mind, in your life, and that you would like to talk about.
And absolutely. And you know, we also got to remind them, we have our toll-free number, you know. Mm-hmm. Please use it. It's 1-877-HOPE-777. If you want to share a story on the air, you can leave your story right on our machine there, and that story can be played. Or if you just want to leave a story and you don't want to be named in the story or just want the story out there, we can share the story either way. You know, just let us know. And also remember to email us at questions@autismradio.org. Lynn, I also want to put this out there, too. It's official. September 18th is going to be our first annual casino night gala fundraiser at the Bethwood in Totowa, New Jersey. It's going to be from 7 to midnight, and we're really excited about that. And so we hopefully, if we're a business and you're looking, you know, at the new year, become a partner. You know, it's a tax write-off for your business, and also you can get some amazing, incredible exposure for your company by being part of this event. We have all the details as far as being a sponsor. You can have your own table named after you. We're expecting a couple hundred people to this event, so it's going to be a huge event, and I expect it to be a huge success. And also, don't forget, if you want to make a donation, we have some great programs. We have our swim program, our iPad for autism, and also just our one-on-one family support, as well as our therapeutic horseback riding programs that we do here in the tri-state area. And, you know, we need your support. So, you know, go to our website and go to www.autismradio.org, donate, and make a donation now. You know, it's a great time to donate. It's a new year. You're going to be getting your tax returns, and it's a great time to make a donation. So, you know, any amount, it could be a dollar, you know. So, you know, whatever it is, it'll go to good use for our programs and our kids here in the autism community. So I just want to put that out there. Also, I'm going to be getting ready to open up the program at Iron Temple Martial Arts School. I'm going to be heading up there this week and help organizing the program for children with autism. So it's going to be the first of its kind here in New Jersey. So we're really excited about that. And so, Lynn, we look forward to next week's question. And thanks for spending some time with us today, Lynn.
Well, thank you.
And we want to thank all our listeners, as always, for the continued support here on the program. And also, don't forget, March 22nd, we have a great event, and our very own Lynn Glukoff is being honored. So be sure to check it out for mothers of children with autism. It's a Pamper Me event in Paterson, New Jersey. It's a great event. So be sure to check that out and come and say hello to Lynn and myself. Look forward to seeing everybody. So remember, until next time, everyone, hope saves the day. Good night, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice, and remember, hope saves the day. Show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. Then you are right by my side. I will love you to the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to. Let this song be my voice, and remember, hope saves the day.